It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I help you transform midlife into your best life and find love again in your next chapter. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Debbie Silber, and she's the author of Trust Again, Overcoming Betrayal and Regaining Health, Confidence, and Happiness. And today we're talking about Blindsided by Betrayal, How to Trust and Love Again. So welcome, Debbie. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much. Looking forward to our conversation.
I know. So, you know, let's just jump into it. What made you write this book?
Yeah, you don't write something like Trust Again and Study Betrayal unless you need to. I've been in health mindset personal development since 1991. And, you know, as my life kept changing, so did my business. And then it was trauma. I hit trauma, and it was a family betrayal. And you know how the universe works? You didn't quite learn all the lessons you were meant to learn. You get more opportunities. Well, I did. And this time it was my husband. So I was devastated, blindsided, like anybody else who's been through it. It's a pain like no other. And I got him out of the house, and I realized, I was like, what's similar to these two experiences? And what I came up with was, I never really took my own needs seriously. I had four kids and six dogs and a thriving business. And I was like, you know what, that's it. And one of the first things I did, maybe not what many people would do coming off a betrayal, but what I decided to do was enroll in a PhD program in transpersonal psychology, the psychology of transformation and human potential, because I was changing and I didn't quite understand it. He was on his own, but I wasn't really ready to look at that. And then it was time to do a study. And I really was just desperate to heal. I wanted to understand how the mind works and why people do these things. But it was time for a study. So I studied betrayal. What holds us back? What helps us heal? And what happens to us physically, mentally, and emotionally when the people closest to us lie, cheat, and deceive? That study led to three groundbreaking discoveries. And it changed my health, my life, my business, everything.
So what were those three groundbreaking discoveries then?
Yeah. So the first was, I was studying something called post-traumatic growth, which is like the upside of trauma, you know, where how that trauma, no matter what it is, death of a loved one, disease, whatever, leaves you with a new awareness, perspective, insight that you didn't have. But I was like, you know, I've been through death of a loved one and I've been through disease, and betrayal feels so different. But I didn't want to assume. So I asked all my study participants, and I said, if you've been through other traumas besides betrayal, does it feel different for you? Hands down, they said, oh my gosh, it's so different. And it's so different because let's say you lose someone you love, like I lost my mom. When you lose someone you love, you're sad, you grieve, you mourn the loss. You don't necessarily take it personally. Betrayal feels so intentional. So you take it so personally, the entire self has to be rebuilt. Confidence, trust, belonging, worthiness, a sense of rejection, abandonment. These are huge things to rebuild. So it needed its own name, this type of healing. So there's a new term called post-betrayal transformation. That's the complete and total healing once you've experienced betrayal. That was the first discovery. The second one was that while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and so many of us do, if we're going to heal, we will move through five now proven predictable stages. And what's even more exciting about that is now we know physically, mentally, and emotionally what happens at each of those stages and what it takes to move from one stage to the next. So what's so exciting about that is now healing is predictable, because if you know where you are and you know what you have to do to get to the next stage, you can predictably move through the stages. So that one was just like, all of them were such a shock. That one just blew my mind totally. And I'm happy to go through the stages at some point if you want. The third discovery was that there is this collection of symptoms, physical, mental, and emotional, so common to betrayal, it's known as post-betrayal syndrome. And we have a quiz on the site to see to what extent someone's struggling. Every age, almost every country is represented. We've had about 8,800 people take the quiz in the last year and a half or so. And there's a question that reads, is there anything else you'd like to share? And I read every one of them. And you've heard the saying, I'm sure, time heals all wounds. I have the proof when it comes to betrayal. That's not true. Because people write things like, my betrayal happened 40 years ago. I could still feel the hate. My betrayal happened 25 years ago. I'm unwilling to trust again. My betrayal happened 10 years ago. Feels like it happened yesterday. So we know when it comes to betrayal, it does not heal until you face it, feel it, heal it.
And so what you're saying is somebody has to go through all five stages in order to heal and so that they can move on and trust and love again.
And I'll tell you there, and this is how you know, it's so easy to spot an unhealed betrayal, and I can share what it looks like, and everybody watching, listening, see where you are in this, because we see it in the areas of health and work and relationships. And here's a typical way I would see it. If you experience repeat betrayals, it's unhealed. So if you go from partner to partner to partner and you're like, what the heck? It's a different person, but it's the same thing. That same thing keeps happening. Is it me? Yes. It's because you have not learned the profound lesson that betrayal was there to teach. So you keep getting more opportunities to learn that. Like maybe you haven't realized you're lovable, worthy, deserving, you need new boundaries, whatever it is.
So would this be an example of like, say, where a woman says, you know, Debbie, I don't know why, but all my exes were cheaters.
100 million percent.
Okay.
That's an unhealed betrayal. And so that's the first way we see it. The other way in relationships is when that big wall goes up. You're like, nope, been there, done that. I'm not doing that again. And we think, and you're keeping everybody at bay. And we think that's a place of strength, but it's not. It's a place of pain. It's unhealed. You know, it's one thing if you don't want anybody in your life because you're like, I am so good, so happy, so fulfilled, and I just couldn't take another more ounce of joy. You know, that's a different thing. But when you're keeping people at bay because that pain was so great that there is no chance you're going through that again, that's an unhealed betrayal. And in the quiz, I mean, I just pulled the stats every once in a while, and we see something like 67% of people who've experienced the betrayal are unwilling to go into a relationship again because they're afraid of being hurt again. It's so common, you know. And then we see it in, let's say, work, where people, you know, they don't have the confidence to ask for that raise or a promotion. They deserve it, but their confidence was shattered in the betrayal. So they don't have the confidence to ask. Or they want to be a team player, but the person they trusted the most proved untrustworthy. How can they trust someone they barely know? So it shows up in every area of life.
So would it show up in relationships? Like, let's just say she did get into a new relationship, okay, but she wasn't fully healed. Could it show up in the way that she has a hard time asking for what she needs in the relationship and just kind of keeps quiet and is like, oh, I don't think I should say anything because I feel like I might push him away or I don't want to be too demanding?
Absolutely. And what I see all the time is we come out of a relationship, and that's why I really can't stand that whole you complete me thing, because we come out of a relationship and we feel like this half, and we feel like, okay, well, I need to search for another half so I can be whole again. No. What you want to do, and look at it like this, when we're coming out of a relationship, the only thing you want to do, and that's why at the PBT Institute, all we do is help the betrayed person heal physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. So this is what happens. But if you meet someone when you're here and then you do the work to start healing, you're like, but they're here. Okay. And you keep doing this. And this doesn't feel good because you like it up here. So then you want to stay here. And then you're like, come on, you know, but they're not ready or willing to do that. So eventually what happens is you get this. And they're like, what happened to you? And you're like, ooh, I'm not nearly as attracted to you as I was because you like it here. Right. So then this is what happens. So what you want to do is you are out of a relationship. The only thing you want to do is do this so you are so rock solid not moving, and then the only thing that can happen is someone here shows up. Does that make sense?
I love that. I love that. And it's that what I always call that inner foundational piece. And it's I always liken it to like how you have a solid foundation on a house. That's the solid foundation you want to have before you get out there and try to meet someone. Because so Absolutely. You're right. Someone can't complete you. You can only complete yourself.
And you'll only find more of the same until you figure that out.
Got it. Okay. So what number are we at next?
So those were I just briefly said what the five stages were, but I mean what the three discoveries were. But if you want me to go through the five stages,
yeah.
I'm happy to. Okay. And everyone will see the most common place to get stuck in is stage three. And when I explain them, you'll see exactly why. So the first is like a setup stage. And this I saw with every single study participant, me too. And if you imagine four legs of a table, the four legs being physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, what I saw with everybody was this real heavy lean on the physical and the mental and kind of neglecting the emotional and the spiritual. So what does that look like? It looks like we're really good at thinking and doing and not really prioritizing the feeling and being. But it's in the feeling and being where our intuition lies. And we turn that down. Easy for that table to topple over if we're only focused on two legs, right? Then there's stage two. This is by far the scariest stage. Here's where we're shocked. We're blindsided. D-Day, Discovery Day. This is where that person takes that mask off and you're like, this is who they've been. And what happens is this is the stage where there's the breakdown of the body, the mind, and the worldview. You've ignited the stress response. Now you're headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. Your mind is in a complete state of chaos and overwhelm. This doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. You cannot wrap your mind around what you just learned. And your worldview is shattered. Your worldview is your mental model. These are the rules. This is how life works. Don't go there. Do this. And in a moment, everything you've learned to be real and true is completely shattered. So here's truly where the bottom bottoms down in you. Terrifying stage. I remember a study participant who said, you know what it feels like? It feels like every negative emotion you can imagine, getting punched in the gut and losing a child in a crowd at the same time.
Oh,
it's just
God.
Awful. It's just so awful. And it is. It's a shock to the body and mind. It tattoos itself on your heart. But think about it. If the bottom were to bottom out on you, you would grab hold of anything you could to stay safe and stay alive. And that's stage three. Survival instincts emerge. It's the most practical stage. If you can't help me get out of my way, how will I survive this experience? Who can I talk to? Who can I trust? Where do I go? But here's the catch. Because stage three, survival, feels so much better than the shock and trauma of where you've been.
Right.
You're like, whew, okay, I'm good. No, you're not. You haven't even undergone your transformation yet. You're surviving. But compared to where you are, you think that's good. And then what happens is you start getting, the longer you stay here, the worse it gets. You start getting some small self benefits from being here. You get to be right. You get a target for your anger. You get someone to blame. You get lots of sympathy from other people. You don't have to do the hard work of learning to trust again. Do I trust you? Do I trust you? Forget it. I won't trust anybody. And you're planting some deep roots here. It gets worse. When you're in this stage now and you're getting those benefits, now what's happening is your mind starts doing things like, well, maybe I deserved it. Maybe I'm not all that great. Maybe whatever. And now like energy attracts like energy. So now you're calling situations and circumstances and things towards you that confirm that's where you belong. It gets worse, but don't worry, I'll get you out of there. Now, because this doesn't feel good, but you don't even know there's stage four and five waiting for you, what happens is here's where you start using things like food, drugs, alcohol, work, TV, keeping busy, reckless behavior, because you're not happy here. This doesn't feel good. You're not happy with your health. You're not happy with your body. You're not happy with your relationships, with your work, with your life. And you have no idea that it's all because of something that could have happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So now you start doing those things, and now you just put yourself in this perpetual holding pattern.
Yeah.
And this is where most people stay. And then they just, their entire life now becomes the habits that are really not working for them, a mindset that is truly not working for them, relationships that don't work because they haven't healed this. So yeah. This is why it's so common to stay stuck. If you're willing, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, because it's really interesting to me, because not only have I gone through betrayal, but I know a lot of the women in my audience have gone through betrayal. And having been through it before, you're right. You get used to living that way and it becomes comfortable because that's all you know. But I could see how people get stuck in there. But is this also where people get stuck in that victim mode? I shouldn't do that. It's actually really victim mode.
It's so real. They are the victim. And you know what it is? They have no idea. Yes, they have a story. But when they let that go, first of all, they get a much better story. They get to be the heroine of their story. They get to be a role model. They get to physically heal. You boost your immune system. You stop this accelerated aging. You lose the weight that was piling on your gut, which was driven by chronic stress. I mean, you get opportunities you never had access to when you were focused on your story. So that's why moving from stage three to stage four is often the hardest place to leave. But if you're willing to let go of all of that, right, and mourn and grieve, and there are certain things you do, you can move to stage four. Stage four is finding and adjusting to a new normal. Here's where you acknowledge you cannot undo the betrayal, but you can control what you do with it. So I always liken this to if you've ever moved to a new house, office, condo, apartment, whatever, all your stuff's not there. You know, it's not like it's lived in yet, but it's going to be okay. And when you feel that way, you start turning down the stress response. Now, you're not physically healing just yet, but you've stopped causing the massive damage physically you were causing in stages two and stage three. Your mind, you're making sense, you're making meaning out of your experience here. But you know what I found so interesting to this stage? If you were to move, you don't necessarily take everything with you. You don't take the things that don't represent the version of you you want to be in that new space. And what I found so interesting to stage four was if your friends weren't there for you, you don't take them with you. Here's where you've outgrown them. And people say to me all the time, Debbie, what the heck? I've had these same friends for 10, 20, 30 years. Is it me? Yes, it is. You're transforming, you're changing, and you've outgrown them. If they indulge in low energy gossip, whatever it is, you don't have the patience for that anymore. So it's very, if you know about it, it's not as upsetting as if you don't know and you're like, what the heck, you know, what's happening? So anyway, when you've settled into stage four, you're making it okay. You're making it like, okay, I can do this. I got this. You could slowly move into the fifth most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. Go ahead.
Before you go into stage five, I just have to share my own personal thing of how I move from stage three to stage four is you're right. You do get comfortable at stage three, right? And whoever, maybe it's a therapist that you go to and that you keep complaining and replaying that whole story. Yep. At a certain point, though, for me, how I got out of that stage is, and I loved how you used the moving because I was thinking this in my head. I said to myself, I don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to live in this place of sorrow, victim. And, you know, you did me wrong. And I made that conscious decision, as hard as it was, to move into the transformation stage. It was scary, though, because it's scary to move out of it. But I did it for me because I said, am I going to let my ex control my destiny for the rest of my life? And so I moved in baby steps through the transformation stage. And it wasn't scary, yes, but I also did it for me. And I just took baby steps and then I built confidence and confidence. And then I was able to get out to the other side. But it's scary.
Absolutely. You're right. And here's what happens. Because it's become so familiar, and I did two TEDx's, the first one I talk about this, when the pain of where you are becomes greater than the fear of the unknown, that's when you jump. And what happens is we get so comfortable, even though it stinks, that we'd rather stay in that stage than venture into the unfamiliar. So we stay there. And the part that makes us crazy when we realize it is, think about it. Someone did something to you, could have been decades ago. They don't know, care, or even remember. And here you are, stuck for years, not happy with how your life is going, the way you're looking, the way you're feeling, the way you're living. Look at the power we give away by doing that. So that's why that stage three, there's so much to understand there. And we really need to see it. And then we really have to, there is that death and destruction of the old in order to rebirth the new. And we're afraid of that. But it's only, we can only rebirth that new when we let go of the old. And you know, healing is always a choice. Rebuilding is always a choice, whether we rebuild ourselves and move on, like that's what you did, that's what I did with my family, or if the situation lends itself, if you're willing and if you want to, you have the opportunity to rebuild an entirely new relationship with the person who hurt you. And that's what I did with my husband. We married each other again as two totally different people. New rings, new vows, new dress, and our four kids is our bridal party. And but you need to know when it's in your best interest and safe to do that, or when it's in your best interest just to heal and move on. There are ways to know the difference. So, and I'm happy to share that too. But anyway, we're in that stage four, and we're getting comfortable there, like how you mentioned. Then we can move into stage five, healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. The body starts to heal. You didn't have the bandwidth for eating well, exercising, self-love, self-care. You were surviving. Now you do. You're making new rules, new boundaries based on who you've become, what you see so clearly now. And we have a new worldview based on our experience. And the four legs of the table, remember in the beginning, it was only all about the physical and the mental. We're solidly grounded because now we're focused on the emotional and the spiritual too. Those are the five stages.
So this is interesting because I love how you use the table and the four legs, because I'm a very visual person, and so then it connects in for me. So would you say, because here's what I know about strong, independent women, and myself being one too, so I'm guilty of this too, is that do you find that strong, independent women have a harder time getting to stage four and five because they're so much in the thinking mode and trying to control everything and not able to step into the being and the spiritual mode?
I so love that you say that because it's so true. Like, I've had women who they're like, I want to heal. I'm like, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because you have to give up that story. And you think you could think your way out of this, and you can't. Especially something like forgiveness. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the logical, rational, cognitive mind. You know, because think about it. Someone did something so hateful, hurtful, harmful, and forgiveness says yes, and forgive anyway. Because, of course, it has nothing to do with them. It's all about us. So it doesn't. We have to bypass the cognitive mind because it makes no sense. But to that smart, savvy woman, and that's why I love working with women like that, because they're, you know, they're so resistant and they're so defensive and they're so stuck on no, you don't, you know, either you don't know what you're talking about, or I'm fine, or whatever it is, and disregard everything I say, but check your life. How is it working for you? If you are not at the top of your game, take a look, because if I show you the five stages, you'll see how you are tragically stuck in that stage three. I see it all the time.
Yeah, I've seen it. One time I blatantly saw it when I was talking to this woman and she had been betrayed, and it was years ago. And I started to pick up on that she wasn't fully healed. And I said, I'm not sure that you're fully healed. And she got so defensive. And she said, no, I'm good. And right when she got so defensive, I'm like, no. Yeah. I mean, I didn't say that to her, but I'm thinking about my own, you haven't fully healed. So I think
and you
it's
know,
so-
yeah. And also, like, I'll hear someone's story. And I'll hear that story. And I know it is so well rehearsed. They've said that same story 100 million times. Someone had me on the phone a couple weeks ago. And she was telling me the story. And it sounded like her betrayal happened maybe a year ago. It was 15 years ago. And then I said, well, you know, we have the community, and that's exactly what we do there. We will predictably move you through. And we have two levels, one where you can work with me, one where you could just be a part of the community. Oh, I want to work with you. She was so sold. And it's interesting because the next day, not only did she not join the community, but she bought, we have a three-phase supplement line specific to betrayal, which gets you out of all the symptoms you're really struggling with. They're wonderful. But what I was so upset with was, here she so desperately wanted to heal. She knew she was stuck. I called her on it. And instead of saying, I'm going to do the work, it's going to be hard, she was like, ah, I'll take a supplement instead. That's what people do.
Yeah.
You know, it's so common. This work is hard. So we think, well, you know what? I'll just sort of run from it or whatever. It follows you around like a shadow. You do not heal until you take it on.
So this is then what I'm hearing you say about these five stages is that someone has to go through all five before they can really get out there and date again and have that healthy relationship.
The worst thing you can do is, like I said, get out of one relationship and the pain is so great, you just want to move into the next relationship. That never, ever, ever works. Because like someone even said to me the other day, you know, I'm fine as long as I don't see that person. Like, no, you're not fine. That means you're not fine.
Right.
You want to heal. And you know, when I see this, the same timeline all the time, it's like we go from this deep sadness where we take it so personally, because it is, it's, I believe betrayal is one of the most painful of the human experiences. So we are so sad. And then we start getting really angry where it's like, you know, we get fired up and then we go to pity. Like, really? You have to do that to feel better about yourself or whatever. And then eventually we get to compassion. When you're in that place of compassion, you're good. Then you can start dating. When you're in that stage five, you will notice the difference in the relationships you have. But when you start dating, you wouldn't even think about it in a stage two. When you start dating in that stage three, no, it doesn't work out. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Because your only best case scenario, meeting up with another stage three.
Right, right. So let's talk about, like, now she's gone through all five stages, right? Mm-hmm. And she's getting out there to date and she's a little afraid and she's meeting men here and there. And let's just say she does meet a man, but she's like, oh, Debbie, I'm so afraid to trust him again. Like, how does she move through that? Because that's another stage, really, right?
Well, learning to trust again, interestingly enough, Trust Again, the book. You know, I teach this four-step process to learn how to trust again. Because one of the biggest problems when it comes to betrayal is not only do we not trust our betrayer, we don't trust ourselves. It shatters trust in ourselves because we're like, I'm a bright person. How did I not see? How did I not know? How did this happen right under my nose? So we really lack trust in ourselves. And it's a very frightening place to be in when we don't trust others and we don't trust ourselves. So we really need to go through that four-step process. I'm happy to go through it with you if that would help.
Sure.
Okay. So the first one is, I mean, when trust is shattered, that is the foundation of relationships. You know, I look at trust like a brick wall. That brick wall can take decades to build, brick by brick by brick. In one earth-shattering moment, the entire thing comes tumbling down. There's no quick way to get it back up again. So if you can look at the rubble of bricks and say, I don't have the least bit of interest watching that thing go back up again, fine. But if you do, the only way it's going up is brick by brick by brick. It is a slow, tedious, long process. But you that's what you're, if you're taking that on, no, trust will take time. If you rush it, it backfires. If you rush to forgiveness, it backfires. It takes time. You'll know when you're ready. But the first thing we need to do is rebuild the foundation because your worldview is shattered. So I'm talking as basic as, like, will the sun rise? I don't know. My whole world is so shattered, I have no idea. And test it. Something so basic and so predictable, you know? And when you feel that level of safety is back, you could trust in the most basic aspects of life, you can move to the next step. And that would mean trust in your higher self, your wise inner guide, something other than you, God, universe, source, anything. And what you're doing here is you're learning what trusting trusting your gut, trusting your intuition feels like. Because we turn that down, and it really can serve us. And, you know, when you're speaking with someone, and if the words and the energy and the mannerisms are not completely congruent and aligned, there's something off, you know? And I'm not talking about like a weird Botox thing. You know, I'm talking about like, you know, you've seen it where like someone, where their eyes aren't smiling, but their mouth is. Trust that, right? Or if something feels so right and so healthy, you know, trust that. So we need to discern that and get that again. And so now think about it. If you've rebuilt the most foundational aspects of life, you've strengthened your wise inner guide, you know, intuition, whatever. Now you need to learn how to trust yourself again. So you give yourself little tasks and you do them. I'm going to drink that glass of water, and then you do. I'm going to make that phone call, and then you do. I am not going to call my ex in a weak moment, and you don't. Whatever it is for you. And now you're teaching yourself that you can be trusted. If you say something, you mean it. So think about it. You have the foundation that's being rebuilt. You have the your trust in your intuition. Your trust in yourself. You feel like you have this sort of invisible bodyguard. And from that space, you could slowly and carefully start trusting in others again.
So Debbie, what if a woman meets a man and everything's going great, but then she's betrayed again?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say the first thing is that's a sign of an unhealed betrayal. So you instead, I don't know what had that person go into that relationship. Were they fully healed? Chances are that is not the case because they were probably hanging out at that level two, that level three. They met someone from that space. It is another opportunity to learn something. That's the first thing. The second thing is you don't want to blame yourself and get upset with yourself because we don't know to think like this. You know, so how do you, we go through life expecting people to treat us the way we treat them. You know, like I live very simply. If it's going to hurt somebody, don't do it. And I just assume other people live the same way. I'm always shocked that that's not the case. So we need to understand people are living at a certain level of consciousness. Someone awake and aware wouldn't hurt a fly, you know, like, and I see it with my husband now, this version of him, and I've known him since 1984, this version of him doesn't even physically look like that version of who he was. He doesn't sound like that version, even in the most simple, you know, everyday things. So you can see the difference in someone who is conscious. And these are things that as you start healing, you know to look for. But everybody resonates at a very different level. You know, yeah. And it's when we expect everybody to be at whatever level we're at, we expect them to be the same way. That's not the case. That's not the case. So, you know, there's a way to strengthen your BS meter. But also, I caution everybody, do not go into a relationship until you are fully and completely healed.
Do you think it's important? Because here's the other thing that I've noticed, too, with strong, independent women is there's that shame and guilt of how could I be so stupid? I'm a smart woman. I should have known better. And then she beats herself up. What stage is that? Is that the third?
We could be doing that, a lot along the way, and it's so common. But I'm gonna address this from a few different angles. Number one, best case scenario, you have 100% of your energy. If you're taking 50% of it, 40% of it, devoting it to what's wrong with me, I'm so dumb, I'm so this, I'm so that, you only have the remainder left to heal. So that's all you're working with. If it brings you to some level of clarity and help and healing, then it's worth it. But that never does. We never saw it coming because we don't think that way. The biggest crime is when here we are, this beautiful, loving person, and then we're like, that's it. I'm closing up. I'm not letting anybody in because we think that's the solution. That's where the crime is. We can't fault ourselves for being trustworthy. That's what relationships are about. It's not our fault. It's because we have a big, wide open heart. We just expected the same. Someone just took advantage of that trust.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that you shared that because I think a lot of smart, successful women beat themselves up and then it just makes them embarrassed and then they can't move on. So This has been amazing, Debbie. So I would love for you to share with the ladies how they can find you.
Oh, thank you. The best thing for them to do is take the post-betrayal syndrome quiz so they see to what extent they're struggling. And you can just find that at the PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, thepbtinstitute.com/quiz.
Awesome. And show us your book again and tell the ladies where they can get that, because that's amazing.
Thanks so much. So Trust Again, Overcoming Betrayal and Regaining Health, Confidence, and Happiness. The hardcover keeps getting sold out, but it's back in stock. So you can order it. It'll ship out whenever it's available. The Kindle is available now, audio on the 26th. And they can just find that on Amazon, or go to, if they take the quiz, they'll hear about the book on the final page. If that's it, go to the quiz. You'll get everything.
Awesome. Awesome. So ladies, as you could see, Debbie is the expert in helping you heal after betrayal. So go take that quiz. I know it's going to be super helpful for you. And thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. My show is available on both video and podcast format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.